Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, as he brings us up to date on exactly what's happening financially, whether those green shoots that we keep hearing about that reflect, of course, the end of the recession and the fact that we're moving on to a new and wonderful utopian world, whether those are really green shoots or maybe just poisonous mushrooms that are poking their head up to confuse the public. Hi, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good. I'm just wondering if they might be poison ivy.
Yeah, we could probably fire. Very, very likely. Well, of course, you know, the things, nothing are really getting any better. They're just so elated because of the unemployment fell from 9.5 to 9.4%. But, Bob, why don't you go into the background of how they make up these statistics? Because people are always making up statistics, and certainly it's been said that figures don't lie, but liars can figure, and if you work for the government, that's what you're paid for. Are we really certainly having a fall, a dramatic fall in unemployment? And how could that be when hundreds of thousands of people lost their jobs last month?
Well, we lost 247,000 jobs. If that's the case, how did the unemployment rate go down? Well, they didn't tell you that 400,000 people that were on those rolls were delegated off there. And that means that they lost their jobs and they're nowhere to be found. If you go to the U6 category, which are those who are no longer collecting checks for unemployment, as they were in there too long, and their benefits have run out, and if you pull in the part-timers, which the average work week is 33.1, 33.1 days per week, and you have a lot of part-timers, and then you have people who are discouraged, and they're all put into what is called U6. And U6 also includes a thing called the birth-death ratio. And that is when the U.S. government doesn't have time or the resources or the money to go in and check all of the people in the small and medium-sized companies, then they guess at how many jobs were lost or created. And over the last couple of years, there's only been a couple of months when they lost jobs. And there were lots created out of nothing, out of nowhere. And so they use this figure and they add it in. And so the U6 figure is 16.8%. These are government figures. The next figure is the figure that I come up with, and John Williams, who's another economist, comes up with as well. And that is a figure which removes the birth-death ratio, and you come out with 20.8% unemployment. So one-fifth of working Americans are out of a job.
Or certainly underemployed, as it were. And ladies and gentlemen, we're facing a real catastrophe. They're not telling us the truth. They were intentionally running up the stock market by artificially interfering and running it up to try to keep us happy just a little bit longer. Well, Bob, you picked the story from there.
Well, It's not only with the unemployment figures, it's also with the figures for the Consumer Price Index. And in that one, they use a thing called hedonics. And hedonics is when you go in to buy something, a television, let us say, and let's say it costs $500 and you really can't afford it, so you buy a $300 television. And so the government says that you save $200, so that means that their figures go down. In other words, inflation goes down. Well, you go into the market and you want to buy steak and it's $4 a pound, and you buy ground round instead of $2 a pound. And that certainly doesn't make any sense to me, and never has, but that's the way they do it. And that's why the figures for inflation are so skewed. And if you'll notice, we're coming up to a juncture where they have to come up with a figure, and I think it's July or August figure. Can't remember offhand. And they're going to use that figure for next year's increase or decrease in pensions, such as Social Security or government pensions, which all of the pension plans use as a guideline. They will make the figure go down so they don't have to pay out as much money. And it's really terrible what they do to the American people, because they're always lying about the figures because they don't want to pay the actual inflation rate in terms of Social Security, let us say, which is the easiest to understand. And so that's another reason why they do what they do. And, you know, they're talking about inflation now somewhere in the vicinity of 2 or 3%. It's higher than that. But there's nothing you can do because nobody has any access as to how they figure their figures out. So they get away with it. But for the longest time, inflation was up to 14.3%. And that was about a year and a half ago. And it's come down since then. And the figure's probably somewhere between 5 and 9%. It's hard to tell, but it's higher than that. And as we go along here, and banks start using the money that they have on deposit with the Federal Reserve and put it back into the economy in the form of increased loans, then you'll see more inflation again.
All right, you hang on there. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Bob was just explaining that the inflation rate is higher than they will admit. Certainly, it's not going up as much as we would anticipate with all the money they're pouring out, but they're basically taking the money out of the society, and they're doing that because the Federal Reserve, for the first time in history, is paying banks interest on the reserves that they deposit with the Federal Reserve System. So instead of having $6 or $8 billion there on deposit, they have $800 billion on deposit. Ordinarily, of course, that would be available to the banks. They would be lending it out with a factor of 10, and we would have a booming economy. We would also have runaway inflation. So to prevent the inflation from really becoming apparent or from occurring, why the Federal Reserve is actually paying interest on the reserves, which means that the banks don't have money to lend, and the whole economy grinds to the stop. What they're doing with the large banks are in on the scam, because you see, you cannot have a vibrant economy based upon what we've had in the past if there's no credit, and it's very difficult. I think 16 of 18 large banks surveyed are just not lending. The smaller banks aren't lending. It's very difficult to get a loan. And this is what's strangling our economy, but they're not going to let the American people know that they're doing this on purpose. Would you agree or disagree with that, Bob?
Oh, I'd agree with that.
Well, you pick up this story, because you see, the average American can't understand that. I mean, this is exactly what they did back in 1837 when Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, and to punish the American people because they wouldn't go along with the Second Bank of the United States, and it allowed Andrew Jackson to actually withdraw the charter of the Second Bank, they just stopped all lending. And of course, as Andrew Jackson said, you know, whole cities went into disrepair. There was a sense of gloom and despondency. Every place, people couldn't borrow money. And that's just what the banks are doing today. But people don't understand. They make this so complicated. It's simply a matter, is credit available? Is credit not available? When credit isn't available, then the whole economy collapses. So what is really going on, and what's the impact of, say, our cash for clunkers bill? How long can you keep giving people money to buy things?
Well, I think cash for clunkers is going to be extended. And I don't know for how long, but at least for another 6 months to a year. Because we saw the program used in Germany, and very effective for getting rid of old cars, but it really didn't boost the economy enough to make it recover. And, you know, you can't have just one facet of the economy getting subsidized. So what you've got to do is subsidize everything. And, you know, why don't we just get out Karl Marx's book and let's start having a Soviet or a communist society. And that's where this whole thing is headed.
Well, that's, of course, what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. They wanted to drive up the price of potatoes, so they just bought up the potatoes and buried them, and there was a shortage of potatoes, and the price went up. Of course, people were hungry because they couldn't afford the potatoes, but that didn't matter. It was all command control. They actually have more czars in the Obama administration than the Romanovs had when they had the empire there, the Russian Empire, that was toppled back in 1917. But, you know, I had suggested on this afternoon program, if we wanted to stimulate this at the market in mattresses, why we could simply have the government just take all the mattresses, burn them, and then there'd be a demand for mattresses. People would buy more mattresses. We could subsidize that. We could give them, say, $500 for every mattress they wanted. We could do the same thing with furniture. We could start to, you know, having big bonfires and burn up the furniture and then give everybody $1,000 to buy furniture. But how long can this sort of economy last?
Well, it can't. And you have to understand that they're going to have to continue to pour money in the economy, which really creates nothing. You know, we just noticed in China doing the same thing. China has poured about $1.8 to $2 trillion into their economy since February. And they still have 30 million unemployed. It hasn't gotten any better. But the stock market went up 88%. That was unbelievable. And housing prices are going crazy. And the people who run China don't know what to do. And, you know, they're building all sorts of things that they don't need. And it's causing a real problem rather than helping the economy. And of course the Chinese have a strong currency, and if for no other reason that they've got over $2 trillion in foreign exchange, so you know they can beat that off, and they can afford to have their currency get a little weaker. But that's the end result, and we're going to see it here only in a bigger way.
Well, I think people don't understand the difference between China and the United States is China is the largest nation as far as wealth is concerned, concentrated wealth. America is the largest debtor nation in the world. In fact, the largest debtor nation the world has ever seen. Some people say we even have to borrow as much as $4 billion a day. You know, to simply pay our debts, actually, we have until the 30th of September to come up with, what, about another $1 trillion, $800 billion to $1 trillion we're going to have to borrow here in the next month and a half? What's that figure?
Right.
And what happens if the Chinese won't lend it to us? The Japanese won't lend it to us because they're losing confidence in the dollar?
Well, I think the Chinese are not big buyers. They'll buy $2 or $3 billion here and there. But that's not enough. And it's my suspicion that what they're doing the Fed and the Treasury is that they're purchasing treasuries with money that was made up out of thin air, and it was sent to the other central banks in other countries. I have a list of them in my last issue. And they are taking that money, and they, at the instruction of the Fed, are going into the market, and they are buying the U.S. Treasury paper that's coming up for auction. But they will have done, this week and last week, $300 billion. I mean, that's a colossal figure. And it's my suspicion that that's what's going on. And that's a monetization process where you take money and make it in thin air and then either give it to somebody to use or use it yourself. It doesn't make any difference because it goes directly into the system. And at the same time, the Fed is using their money, which they've created as well, to go in and buy treasuries in the local markets in the United States. At the same time, they're buying agency securities as well, which is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and others. And they're also buying collateralized debt obligations, which are bonds which contain mortgages, which are called CDOs. They're buying them from banks, and they won't tell us, because it's a state secret, what they're paying for these pieces of toxic waste that these banks have. And so the whole system is a phony, baloney system. And that money that the banks get goes on deposit, as you pointed out earlier, with the Federal Reserve, and they get paid interest on it, which is something they never did get before about 6 months to a year ago. And so the whole thing, the whole system, is smoke and mirrors. And all the bankers in the world know it. The public knows little of anything about anything. And I'm talking about people who have degrees and who are high up in business. They don't understand. They've never taken the time to study how all this happens. But that is how it happens. In a privately owned organization, the Federal Reserve, owned by 12 regional Federal Reserve banks, they own the Fed. And that's where the FOMC comes from, Federal Open Market Committee. And that's a group of people from those banks who essentially tell the Fed what to do.
And of course, the Fed really runs our...
is a figurehead.
The Fed runs our money policy. The Fed, through its influence on Congress and certainly on the presidency, really run the country. We're being run not by the elected representatives. They're not the people who put up the hundreds of billions of dollars to, you know, get the President Obama or whoever it is gets elected. I mean, certainly Goldman Sachs was the largest contributor to President Obama's campaign. Of course, they're part of the Trilateral Commission, and you can look at the people from the Trilateral Commission who put up the money to bring in the present administration. Of course, they control the Bush administration before, but they're the ones, of course, who are now 12 members of the Trilateral Commission, have been appointed to the Obama administration. They meet with them every day. They tell them what to do. We focus on Barack Obama, but not on the people of great wealth. The people from Goldman Sachs, members of the Trilateral Commission, people from J.P. Morgan, either present or immediately prior members of the Trilateral Commission, people from Citibank, certainly formerly the largest bank certainly in the United States, and of course all from the Trilateral Commission. A little clique, and nobody's ever going to tell you that. Nobody's ever going to tell you why we gave Chrysler to Fiat Motors. Incidentally, Fiat's going to start manufacturing Chrysler cars in Italy. How's that going to help us? Well, the head of the Fiat is a member of the Trilateral Commission. So now we're beginning to see how we're beginning to shift our manufacturing overseas. But we can't tell the American people. That's what it's really all about. It's sending the wealth of the American people overseas, destroying our currency, impoverishing our people. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Bob, you know, one of the greatest tragedies is I don't think the average individual really understands globalism or the organized, coordinated effort to ship America.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And lowering the economy here in the United States, they've even created a new word. They call it the BRIC nations. You wouldn't have heard this, I know, 3 months ago, but it's a new word, entered the vocabulary. It's because it has to do with Brazil, Russia, India, and China. These are the countries that we're transferring our wealth to. not by accident, but by intent? Where do you think all the money came from to build up the massive industrial capacity of China? Where do you think the technology came from? Where did the corporations came from and the banking industries that moved over there? And we reward them. We do not charge them income tax. You move overseas. Why? You don't have to pay income tax. You're an American citizen. You go overseas. You have to pay American income tax. But if you're an American corporation, we're going to reward you for taking American jobs out of the country by you don't have to pay income tax in the United States. Isn't that nice? And the average American, just it doesn't make sense. How are we going to convince the American people that there really are people who are subversives working at the highest level of our government, having sworn to uphold our Constitution, and yet their loyalty is to this internationalist dream and transferring the wealth and the productive capacity of this country elsewhere? How are we going to make people understand that? I know you're doing an awful lot of radio and television now, or at least radio. Sydney, do you have an opportunity to bring these facts out?
Well, absolutely. And we are informing people worldwide, and it's certainly helping very much. I think what we've done is we've got the people who are in power are very concerned about the outcome of what they're doing because they think that the public has found out what's going on, a good part of them, and they're very concerned about that because they are afraid that the public just might go out and stop them from doing what they're doing. And so it is having an effect, and it's very important, and that's why you and I keep on doing it.
I think there's one reason they're staging this major flu epidemic now and this demand for the vaccine, an untried, untested, a dangerous vaccine, and dangerous because it's going to have squalene in a lot of it, and most of it will have squalene in it. It's a great diversion, and of course, who knows, it may have disastrous effects economically. They may start quarantining nations and cutting out the trade. That would really, of course, send the world economy into a tailspin. There's an article in the Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the invisible government, the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about this potential for a worldwide economic collapse if there was a serious worldwide epidemic. Well, there's a worldwide epidemic. It's not serious. As of the 31st of last month, 31st of July, only 1,154 people in the entire world had died, according to the World Health Organization figures. And yet, of course, because of that, we're disrupting everything. People are racing to get the experimental vaccine to protect them from this deadly disease, which probably kills far less people in a day in all of its existence than we would kill here in the United States in a month on automobile accidents. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I don't know whether, Chris, the swine flu epidemic is a diversion. It's to make money for the drug companies. It is a part of the population control agenda. We'll find out as the whole scenario implodes. The one thing I can tell you with certainty, however, is that this swine flu is a very, very mild infection. The mortality rate is infinitesimal compared with any serious similar epidemic. And so why are they making such a big fuss about it? Why are they focusing our attention? Why are they frightening the American people to death? And why are they going to give a dangerous, untested, untried, and probably useless vaccine to billions of people throughout the world? What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I think the prime motivation is profit. Because the majority of stocks in those companies are owned by foundations which are controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness. And so that's one of the reasons why they're doing it. And then there's control of the American people. They want to see how many people are going to refuse to take it. There's going to be a lot of them. And it's sort of a beta test. And it's the same. You know, which I think they might try as well is a bank holiday, a short one, just to see what people are going to do. And that'll be under the cover of a falling dollar. And so I think there's a lot of experimentation going on here.
Well, and I think we're moving into uncharted waters. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly, the federal income, in other words, the federal receipts from taxes being paid, so far this year is down about 18%. In other words, we're spending more and we're taking less in. That's a recipe for disaster. The same thing is happening in states all across the country. In some states, the income from taxes, income tax, sales tax, gasoline tax, down 30%. And, of course, a lot of these states are going to have to, have cut services. In fact, an awful lot of our states by next year are really going to be into real financial problems. In fact, are they going to be able to make their payments on their bonds? Is it possible that some of our state governments and local governments might renege on their bonds, and that would bring down the whole house of financial house cards, wouldn't it, Bob?
It certainly would. The federal government has had to raise about $1 trillion. They're in the process of doing that before the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. And they're going to have a hard time doing that. And we discussed that in part earlier with what the Fed is doing. And the states they don't have a printing press, so to speak, like the federal government does in conjunction with the Fed. And so they're in a different position. They have to cut people who are working for state, county, and city entities. And they have to cut back their spending, and because the revenue is not going to be there. They have, like, a good source of revenue is real estate taxes. Well, in the last couple of years, home values are off 40-50%, and so that means you're supposed to get a lower value in your home, pay a lower tax, but that's not what's going on. Taxes, in fact, on homes are going up, and I don't know how much longer the public can continue to do that. And so the states are really in dire trouble, and I think eventually a number of them will go bankrupt, and big ones at that. And I don't think it can be helped, and that's going to be a terrible event.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. He's talking about the fact that he thinks that a number of our state governments are going to go belly up because, you see, their incomes are down dramatically. And suddenly, the state government is not getting the money from income tax. It's not getting the money from gasoline tax. It's not getting the money from sales tax. So state incomes are dramatically down. Many of them are trying to steal money then from the local communities. They're all having trouble. Of course, the federal government's just providing money, but the federal government doesn't have any money. So the only thing it can do is simply either borrow the money or print the money, and since it's having very real problems borrowing the money, it is simply going to have to increase the amount of money. Just simply print it up. The federal government has the ability to do that, but that's what leads to the destruction the value of the currency. This is what happened in the Weimar Republic. This is what happened in Zimbabwe recently. This is what's happened time and again throughout history when you have a fiat money system. Now, Ben Bernanke says, well, of course, you know, we're putting out all this money, but we're not worried about inflation because before things get bad, we're going to just soak up all the money. Well, if they start soaking up the money, they'll throw the whole economy into a deflation. So Bernanke is going to be replaced this coming year by Larry Summers, and certainly a part of the group of 30, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberger, a real insider, Brotherhood of Darkness individual. And Summers is going to say, well, it's not my fault that we destroyed the value of the currency. And Ben Bernanke says, it's not going to be my fault. After all, they took me out. I would have done the right thing. And Larry Summers didn't, and Larry Summers will say, it's all Ben Bernanke's fault. And everybody's going to say, well, gee, I guess nobody's really responsible, because Bernanke's right, they did relieve him, and Larry Summers' right, he inherited this. It's like Obama saying, I'm not responsible, I inherited this problem. Then who's responsible for it? Why, ladies and gentlemen, of course, Timothy Geithner was part of the group that engineered the whole problem. He was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, working closely with both Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson. And he's now the Secretary of the Treasury, and of course, hiding under the mantle of Obama, who says, well, I'm not responsible. I inherited from those bad guys. And yet, of course, he kept a lot of those bad guys on, or he brought them into his government. But the average American cannot see the forest for the trees. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And Bob, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish via email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and it usually runs 35 or 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy for those who are not on the Internet. And if you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to one of three places. You can go to our site, and that site is theinternationalforecaster.com. International, forecaster.com. You can address us at our email address, and that address is bob@intforecaster. That's bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Let's go to Rick, who's calling us for Texas. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Doing just fine.
I just wanted to statement. About 4 or 5 years ago, silver was about where it is now, and all the prices on all the other things have gone up. Dog food's gone way up. Commodities, not so much, but prices at Walmart have gone up, and they must just be. I know they're cooking the books, but is there some way that they're just making up silver that's not there and gold that's not there? I mean, are they just lying, or is there some kind of a exchange where they're just making up things?
Absolutely. Let's let Bob address that, because he's more of an expert than I am. But everything is illusion and delusion. The prices are based not upon supply and demand. They're whatever they want them to be. Bob, how would you respond to Rick?
Well, it's two things. First of all, the United States ran out of silver, so they sold all their silver off, and many others did. And that, for years, suppressed the supply of silver. But now there's more being consumed in a greater way than is produced, so the pressure on silver is upward. Secondly, the central banks of the world have been selling gold for a long time. The leader of the pack, of course, is the is the U.S. government and all of their machinations through the exchange stabilization fund and with the assistance of the privately owned Federal Reserve. And so I think they have sold a great deal into the market. They've leased a great deal into the market. And at the same time, yes, they have been using derivatives to sell into the market as well, and that is gold and silver that just simply doesn't exist. And it's my suspicion that that's what's being done in the exchange-traded funds, GLD and SLV, GLD being gold and SLV being silver. And I don't know how much gold and silver they've got, but it's certainly not 100%, which it's supposed to be. And it's probably more like 25%. And so, with that said, it answers your question, are they selling silver and gold that doesn't exist? And the answer is yes.
Okay, anything else, Rick?
Well, what if there was a run on it? What if everybody tried to cash in on their gold and silver shares or certificates?
Well, I think it's the, you might mean the opposite of that. Well, it goes both ways, I guess. If everybody wanted to buy, which is very possible, then it would make prices skyrocket. And that is a very probable happening. As far as selling, I think, you know, most of the people who wanted to be sellers, which are central banks and their friends, and the Brotherhood of Darkness, what they do have been sellers. And they'll continue to be because they don't want it to look like this problem. Gold is a canary in the gold mine. If it goes up in value, there's a problem somewhere with the U.S. or the world economy. And so they want to suppress that. In fact, if you look at official inflation, gold should be selling at $2,700 an ounce. And if you put in unofficial inflation, you're looking at over $6,000 an ounce. So we've got a long way to go on gold, and of course silver will come along with it. Silver could very well pass $100 an ounce. And these things are going to happen. They can only do what they can do with what they've got. And somewhere along the way, the system's going to break down. And it's going to come unglued of its own volition, if you may. And there's a lot of other things that are in the same category. I mean, you know, you've got foreign policy, domestic policy, the policy of running the economy. They're all a horrible, horrible mess. And we've got a long way to go here of things being difficult. So people better get ready for it.
Okay, Rick, does that answer your question? Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, these exchange-traded funds, I mean, people have shares in those, right? And what if they all try to cash them out and there's no gold or silver to give them? I mean,
they get paid in cash.
Oh, okay.
And
never had
steadily eroding Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Rick. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob. Well, Bob, Sydney, as we look and see how this whole thing's unfolding, what do you think the chances are that they're going to get through this health care bill? Now, this, certainly, would break our country financially. The Congressional Budget Office has said that this is going to bankrupt us. This is certainly going to drive employers out of business. Of course, a lot of businesses work on an 8 or 10% profit, and yet they're going to have to put out an extra 8%. You know, to ensure their employees. I mean, what they're doing, instead of trying to cut taxes and encourage business, They're doing everything they can to raise the taxes on business and discourage people from investing and from organizing businesses here. They can go over to China and certainly open a business over there. They don't have to put up with all the foolish things that we do here in the way of workmen's compensation and environmental protection and unemployment insurance and certainly the Social Security and Medicare and FDIC. I mean, anybody be crazy to open a business in the United States? Why, we're doing everything we can with the increased regulation and certainly now with this health care bill to drive employers out of the United States, aren't we?
We certainly are. And it's very, very aptly put. And it has not been overlooked by people who are entrepreneurs, and they are not going to continue to expand or to start new businesses. A lot of people are selling out who see what is going on, and many of them come to me and say, okay, I just sold 4 restaurants, which is something I got today, and the people want to know, what do I do with my money? Where can I put it where it will be relatively safe? And, of course, the answer is gold and silver. There is no other alternative. And all of the people who believe that they're going to be able to make money in the markets and survive financially are mistaken, because where it's all headed is downward. And the only safe area historically has been gold and silver. So you want to collect and buy for investment purposes gold coins and gold shares. And that's going to be your salvation.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Arizona, and see what he would like to talk about. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I have a question. I'm pretty well prepared now. I've been working at this for 13 years, and I've got the gold and silver and food and water and on. So now I'm putting away some greenbacks, some cash. And I don't understand what happens during a bank shutdown. What, should I be putting away greenbacks, or are they going to reduce the value of them while the banks are shut down, and I'll end up with less than I had? Or should I buy more gold and silver? I don't have a lot, you know, but I'd like to protect it.
Well, I would keep, and depending upon your needs and your financial situation, I would keep in your safe at home $5,000 in small bills, maybe 10 if you get a fair amount of money. I would only have enough money in the bank for 3 months. If you got a business, maybe 6 months operating expenses. And so if there is a bank shutdown and the debit cards and credit cards and the AMT cards and the checks are no longer usable, at least at the beginning you'll have some cash to buy things. What happens next is that the cash to buy things run out. In 3 days the stores run out of food, and then you'll probably have to start bartering potatoes for carrots and carrots for razor blades and razor blades for chocolate and chocolate for cigarettes and cigarettes for gold or whatever. I mean, just look back at Germany at the end of World War II, and I was in Germany not too long after the occupation began. I was with Scheife headquarters out of Paris, although I was in Germany at the time, and I ended up spending about 4 years in Germany, and because during the Cold War I was in counterintelligence, but I saw what went on. I also saw the miracle of the rejuvenation of Germany too. It was fantastic. I mean, you would have had to been there to really appreciate it. And so these things will be used in commerce, whether they're a fifth of an ounce German marks or French roosters or quarter-ounce sovereigns or American Eagle series coins, they're going to be good, whether they're in gold and silver, although I think in the long run gold will be remain more valuable than silver. But these things are very important. And so to answer your question, have $5,000 in the safe in small bills and take all the other money that you get coming in, and every 2 or 4 weeks or whatever it is, buy more coins.
Okay, does that answer your question, Paul?
Yeah, it does. I think you're telling me that it doesn't really make any difference where the cash is. It's going to be devalued.
It's going to be devalued. They're going to destroy the value of our currency. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. That's how you impoverish the people, make them desperate, and they'll do whatever you want.
It's just going to be a little more convenient if you have it at home.
Right.
As a medium of exchange, it's important. Even if you lose 80% of its value, you still got something that most other people don't have. Because how many people do you know run around with $500 in their pocket?
None.
Very few.
Yeah.
And so the ATM card and the credit and debit cards and the checks are not going to work.
Okay, fine. We're going to have to let you go, Paul. All right.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Our guest has been Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Let's go to Chris from Arizona. Hi, Chris. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question and a comment. First of all, when it comes to coin collecting, I am a coin collector. I do collect silver and I do collect copper pennies. I like to collect personally silver eagles, which I have, you know, from 86.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, Chris, what are we going to say?
And I collect American silver eagles, and I do have still a few silver coins around, and I do like to keep bills and stuff because I am a collector.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
October, perhaps to the end of the year, should take it on a USDX basis from around 79 where it is, and it was only a couple of months ago, it was 89.5. I think it's going, they're going to take it down to where it was a couple of years ago at 71.18, and I think it'll be defended there, so to speak, and I think it will hold there for a while. How long, I don't know. It could be 6 months or a year. On the other hand, it could be shorter or longer. But I think the dollar is eventually going to 40. And going to 40, it's going to cause an official devaluation as well as default. And I think many other countries will be doing the same thing. So that's what you get to look forward to, and that's why you take your investable funds and put it in gold and silver, because there's no way that they can't go up. All the games to suppress those metals are gonna lose sooner or later.
All right, God bless. We'll talk to you again next week, Bob. Thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, of course, I guess it's been Bob Chapman. I hope you've enjoyed it, International Forecaster. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you enjoy hearing our programs and you want to keep us on your program, on your station you're listening to, why we hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, I know many of you are really hurting and you're not able to contribute, but if you are in a position to contribute, probably 20% of our population is now unemployed or underemployed, but that means 80% of our population, at least for the time being, are holding their jobs. And if you're one of those and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you really want to understand what's happening financially, probably the best single book would be A Creature from Jekyll Island. We have that in stock. We carry a book written in 1899 by Mr. Walther, an attorney, called The Coming Battle, telling how the banks were eventually going to take control of our government, and of course, it's happened right now. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Krugen, The Money Creators, and they did everything they could to suppress this book. And certainly other people have it, probably at almost three times, what, or at least twice what we're getting for it. We have my talk on the financial tsunami, a talk we gave about 4 years ago, with an excellent syllabus that will, you'll want to keep as a reference to understand the monetary system. And then our latest talk, Financial Armageddon, along with the syllabus that goes with that, Financial Armageddon syllabus, our Brotherhood of Darkness book, our talk. Certainly the series, the professional series on the Secret Mystery series, that's the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, which explains why you have all sorts of astrological things, with the signs of the zodiac, the demonic figures decorating our buildings there in Washington, D.C. And lastly, the Eye of the Phoenix. The importance of the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. They cannot let you understand the occult nature of this, and of course its relationship, not simply to Masonry, but to the ancient mystery religions. Those emblems reflect what was going on 5,000 years ago, but we can't let the American people understand. We're moving towards the culmination of history. If you haven't seen Pastor Billy Crone's a great DVD series, there's two sets, each with five DVDs. The Final Countdown, we recommend it. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget, we're going to have our all-day seminar here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay on the 25th of October. Make your plans to be here. We hope you can come. We've got a great lineup. Catherine Albrecht, William Gill, Tom Horn, Ashley Mote, and I'll be speaking. And so the call for a reservation, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. The illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bill Sardi, and we're going to be talking about what's really going on behind the scenes financially. We are headed towards a financial collapse in the not-too-distant future, certainly here in the state of California. Why, income is down at least 20 to 30% state income. Oh, and, of course, we've just gotten through one effort to balance the budget, but they're talking about within a relatively few months why we'll be behind another $8 to $10 billion. We've gone from a budget of $144 billion down to a budget somewhere around $86 billion here in the state of California. And we're never going to be able to make all of our payments. They're cutting back on essential services. They're already beginning to move our prisoners to other states or into private prisons. They're not telling people about that. Certainly they're cutting back on essential services. They're laying people off. And that's just here in California. Certainly the economy is imploding. And almost 20% of the people in the United States, over 20% of the people in the United States are out of work. One in every five, we're talking 25 to 30 million Americans are without work today or either that or underemployed. Bill, thanks very much for being with us.
We live in an unprecedented time and every day is unprecedented. So.
And every day is just a little bit more unprecedented than the one before. You pick up this story.
Certainly we've never lived in times like these. For all of us that like to put this together in simple terms in finances, imagine that you run a household and you spend $50,000 a year on your house, whatever it is, what are all the expenses you want to include. But imagine that just you went on a spending spree and you ordered a whole bunch of things, another $50,000 worth of goods and things and services, but you never thought of digging up the money for this yet. You just went out and ordered them all, and the bills are going to come in, and now you're left with, oh, wait a minute, how do we get the money? That's how we run our government. You see, we passed legislation that says you now spend $20 million for some program that some congressman wanted, or $3 billion, or whatever it happens to be, but there's no funding attachment to it. There's no tax increase. They just have to cook the money up out of somewhere, and that's how we get the national debt. We overspend because Congress votes for things that we don't have any allocation for. And in fact, our president stood up and said, let's have budget neutral legislation from here on out. The state of California does the same thing. It overspends and has no allocation for things that they vote in the legislature. So what we have here is a situation that's unprecedented because in the past we overspent by maybe the outrageous amount of $400 billion. So you understand, our household budget in the United States is what we collect, $2.34 trillion a year in taxes. But we're overspending by $1.8 trillion this year, not $400 billion, $1.8 trillion. And guess what? We're still looking for a place to find the money because we've already spent it. We've already run up the bills, but we don't have the money.
And, Chris, in the past, we've depended on the Chinese and the Japanese to be among our primary lenders, but they're beginning to shy away. What happens if they don't lend it? Well, where do we get the money? Well, we can simply print the money. But that is a recipe to disaster. We remember the Weimar Republic. We remember what happened in Zimbabwe. Could it happen here in the United States? I believe it could. We'll be right back with Bill Sardi. Bill, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
What we have now is how to cook up $1.8 trillion, and it comes out that some people watching found out that Mr. Bernanke at the Federal Reserve, along with Mr. Geithner at the Treasury Department, have found a way to sneak about $900 billion into the economy by printing the money but not letting anybody know. So from May 2008 to May 2009, they hid and covertly added about $900 billion to the money supply. Now, that may sound great because there's more money out there, and the average little person not understanding, gee, there's more money, so there's more money for us to spend. But that money chasing the same goods and services, and no more, all it does is dilute the existing money. And so the value of our money goes down. Federal Reserve was put into place to keep the value of the dollar. All it's done is had a planned progressive erosion of the dollar until we're only worth a few cents over the last 8 or 9 decades now, pennies on the dollar, as we've seen. They won't push through a tax increase. The easiest thing for them, or to devalue the dollar, the easiest thing for them to do is to just have inflation erode the value of our money. And so what we have is they've snuck $900 billion in or so. They've still got about another trillion to go. And this leads us to great big questions. Are they going to try to sneak more money into the money supply? And why would that be of a great concern? Well, understand it's the size of it this time, because we collect $2.34 trillion in taxes. We spend about half of that on national defense, over $1 trillion for the war machine in our country. We can't go to any more wars, and usually when countries get into bad financial straits, they dig up a war. It distracts the public. It causes a tremendous boost in the economy. Well, we have a full wartime economy going. We're ordering more jeeps and planes and boots for the troops and all those things, and we're still a flop economically. We're still overspending in a crazy fashion.
But the thing is, they're going to have to come up with $1 trillion sometime between now and the 30th of September.
And they're going to have to do it, hopefully, without fanning the flames of inflation. Now, what we have, and to make this so you really understand the punch to it, there's been some complaint that the money in the bailout fund, the TARP.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go ahead. Bill is trying to explain the fact that we're actually going to spend about $1.8 trillion more this year than we're taking in. Certainly they've come up with $800 billion of that $1.8 trillion. But right now, in the next month and a half, they're going to come up with another $1 trillion. How are they possibly going to do that? Are they going to be able to borrow that from China and Japan? I don't think they're going to lend it to us. What are they going to do, and how have they concealed the fact that they have printed or created $800 billion here in the last month or two, last few months, but nobody even knows it's there.
The way they concealed it, Dr. Stan, is that the money in our checking accounts has now been called non-money by Mr. Bernanke. The banks do not have to carry any reserves behind our checking accounts. Now, imagine if those banks fall. Certainly the FDIC insures them. But for him to give a reprieve to the bankers, which they don't deserve, he's made it so they don't have to have any reserves for checking accounts. It's called non-money. Now, if you have savings account, that is money, and you have to have reserves for that. So
I think it's important people to understand these monetary increments. We have something called M1, M2, and M3. And M1 has always included the checking accounts, and it was money printed up, money in checking accounts. That was M1, and then M2 was simply all the other increments. Well, what they've done is they've removed the checking accounts from M1. I don't know what they've done with it. They put it into M2, but they decided not even to carry it on the books at all. And there's not one person in 100,000 in America who realized what they've done. They've only done this in the last few months. And if you've never seen our syllabus on the financial tsunami, it explains, you know, what M1 is, what M2 is. I had to go and look it up to verify what Bill is saying, but he's absolutely right. Checking accounts were always M1, monetary increment before, and suddenly they've been taken out of that, and they didn't tell anybody what they were doing, and they could say, see, there's no increase in money here. But, of course, that's because they took the checking accounts out of that. Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, we can't go to war to boost the economy. We're already a wartime economy, and we have an issue how to boost the economy. They put the TARP funds out there, which was started with $700 billion. We don't know all the obligations. We do see that the Oversight Committee in Congress has said all the obligations to bail out these banks, and all of it comes to $23-plus trillion. But I want you to understand that we have, let's say, $700 billion that we allotted to the banks. I forget how much has actually gone out. Maybe $400 billion, I think, was the figure, something like that. Well, it was Dennis Kucinich in the Congress who was asking, how come the banks aren't loaning the money? Well, God bless them, they aren't. Because if you let $1.8 trillion new dollars that they're now going to have to come up with, or you let the $400 to $700 billion in the TARP funds go to the banks and they start loaning it out, do all of you who are listening tonight know what that becomes? It becomes 10 times more. You probably never learned in school, like I didn't learn, that when bankers get your money in your savings account, they can make money out of thin air, and they use your money just as the reserves and are allowed to loan out 10 times more than the deposits they have in your savings account. So, on an example, if you put $1,000 in a savings account in the bank loans out $10,000. Can you imagine that $400 billion now becomes $4 trillion, $4 trillion.
No, wait a minute. How
much? $400 billion times 10.
$400 billion times 10 would become $4 trillion.
$4 trillion pushed into the economy. Or the $1.8 trillion that they're going to now print up, if the banks start using that as the reserves, they'll release $18 trillion into the economy. We only have an economy of $14 trillion all total. That's our gross domestic product. You're going to have Zimbabwe. You're going to have massive inflation. You're going to have $8 to $10 loaves of bread. It'll be massive confusion. You can't do this. There's no society that's ever escaped this. That's how we got into this mess in the first place. Cheap money. We made it easy to loan it. And through fractional banking, that's what this is called. Luckily, the banks know better. They're being told not to fan the flames. Obviously, somebody in the closet door is speaking to them, and they're turning it back to the Fed. And they're being given a higher rate of interest for parking it at the Fed, the Federal Reserve, than they are to loan it out. Well, it's obvious. It's just a charade. We're not bailing out the economy. we're bailing out the banks. And we will not see a fix to our unemployment, which is really at 20%. They're hiding this. They're saying it's about 10%. And we can't grow America. We don't have the capital because the banks aren't loaning it out so we can get a start for new small businesses, build employment, so on. They're in a box canyon. If they loan the money out, they cause massive inflation. If they don't, we have massive unemployment.
And I think that's what people must understand is you go to the bank today and you want to borrow money, you're probably not going to get it. Certainly 80% of the small businesses trying to get loans can't get it. Why? They can't get it from the small banks because the small banks have been encouraged to deposit all their money with the Fed because they're paying interest on it. They can't get it from the large banks because they're in on the scam, and they certainly want, in the process of destroying our economy. You cannot have an expanding economy if you can't borrow money, and you can't borrow money because that's what the agenda is. They do not want the economy to recover, but they want to give the impression that they want the economy to recover. They want to give the impression they're doing everything possible, and yet, of course, it is all a facade. It's all an illusion. It's symbolism over substance. It's rhetoric over reality. It is simply an illusion. It doesn't exist.
Well, what we have here is an economy where the banks were making about 70% of their profits off real estate. They're not going to do that ever again. I think what they're going to do is abandon real estate, sell all those properties off. Now, they're all on their books. They're hiding. They've got cooked books. They're hiding a lot of the inventory they have of what we call non-performing loans. These are people that have home mortgages, can't pay the banks. Well, the banks, as you notice, haven't been able to really renegotiate successfully too many of the loans, and there are reasons. The banks don't want to really write down the value of the homes. It is an overinflated value created by a false demand when they created no-interest loans and low-interest loans, and therefore it sparked demand for homes and the prices were inflated. If they start to mark down a few homes, because these things go by comparables, you'll mark down all the homes in an area that all the banks have, and they don't want to see that, so they continue with these overinflated home prices, even though in some areas we see them collapsing tremendously. But the banks are probably going to sell off big blocks of these home mortgages that they have and the homes to hedge funds. And they'll buy 500 or 1,000 at a time. And slowly they'll bleed those off. Some will go into rental. Some will sell for bargain prices. The hedge funds have the money to go in and do this. And the bankers are now abrogating their role in America to build American business. Instead of loaning money to small business, which is the bulwark of all the employment in the United States, what they're doing is making money on credit cards. They made $38 billion on late charges on people on their bank accounts, and they're now speculating. They're taking money and investing in commodities, stocks. In other words, they become gamblers. This is not the traditional conservative role of American bankers. They are, someone wrote an article, you know, it's time for the banks to start acting like banks again. And they suggested that we take and start taxing them 90% of all the profits they make if they're not made in loaning money out. But again, I say this is a box canyon. If we loan the money out, it becomes 10 times more than what we gave them. And that becomes massive inflation. So we are in this box canyon. We cannot get out of it. And it's a shame of what the banks have done. But it's a shame that we've seen an effort to save the banks and not the economy and not the American people. And somebody, I think it was Bob Chapman, runs this International Forecaster newsletter, was coming up and saying if we took all the money that they had in the bailout and just gave it to people to pay off their mortgages, then the banks would have been refunded anyway. And yes, we would have had massive inflation, but we wouldn't have had any debt against it. So he said, you know, would have still come out better if we had just handed people the money. Now, the great problem here is that for many of us that have been responsible, made sure we didn't have debts, We've all gotten sucked into this thing, whether we liked it or not. And it's by the irresponsible. One out of every two of these homes that are in foreclosure are from Americans who, let's say, bought a home at $300,000 and they watched it climb to $400,000 and $500,000 and $600,000 in a speculative value and then took out a second mortgage, lived the life of Riley, sent their kids to college, bought three new cars, bought new clothes, and then foreclosed. Those people shouldn't be given any help. But I have to say, they're the ones that caused the problem.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Henry Paulson demanded $700 billion for the TARP fund so he could bail out the housing industry. Congress gave him the money. He didn't spend it. He gave it to the banks. He said, we got to get the banks lending. He gave the banks $125 billion so they could start loaning to industry. But he forgot to tell the banks that they were supposed to do that. And you know what they did? They let it in China and Dubai and Spain and elsewhere, but not here. Bill, go right ahead.
Well, how's the government going to get off the hook? And this is precarious because we're talking about
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And you are simply going to be paying, you know, well, the first 3 years while the bank pays off their loan. They have all their money back the rest of the 27 years. Why, of course, it's all pure profit for the bank. That's the greatest scam in the world. That's what the fractional reserve banking system is concerned. And the reason they don't teach this in college is they don't want people to understand how this scam works and how the bankers have been exploiting our system ever since the days of Andrew Jackson and even before that. And that's why our latest newsletters deal with the farewell address of Andrew Jackson as he tried to explain to the American people how the bankers had set out to punish the American people and destroy our economy to punish the American people because they objected to the policies of the banksters. And banksters is an excellent explanation for a totally fraudulent system that's being used to enrich bankers and impoverish the people. We've got Tony calling from Michigan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Tony, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, you're talking about the economy. I listen to you every night, and I wish you was on the weekend. I miss you on the weekends when you're not there.
Well, the only way you could listen to, well, basically we don't do a program.
I mean, live like you are now.
Okay, fine. We'll go right ahead, Tony. Are you okay in Flint or are you in Detroit?
I'm in Newfoundland. I'm in Grand Blanc.
Or how far are you from Flint and Detroit? Are you listening to our...
I'm about 2 hours from Detroit, and I'm right next to Flint.
Okay, very good. Well, do you have a question or comment for
me? Yeah, comment. The economy. People rarely talk about the money we spend for the war. That's $10 billion a month, right? And that's $120 billion a year. That's just a rat. That's not even counting Afghanistan. A lot of money is going for different things like that we could have.
We could have $1 trillion of it back. We spend, the pie chart that shows how much money we spend on defense shows about 20% of our budget, but in actuality it's about 50%.
Right.
They hide it all, and as you know, at the end of the year, she just brought it up, Dr. Stan, the end of the year they have this add-on for the defense budget, so she's smart enough to have paid attention, and most of us miss it, and so really what we're spending is almost half of our budget. You imagine you're paying half of the money that you make for security guards out in front of your house. Now, the only reason why we do this is we really bully the rest of the world. You don't think it works to make sure China and Japan make sure that they loan the money back to us? We buy their goods, they end up with our dollars, and then we want them to loan them back. Now, Japan, a few years ago, five or six years ago, decided in the Japanese Diet, that's the name for their Congress, that they were just thinking about buying some euros instead of exchanging for U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it. They weren't even going to do it yet, but they just wanted to see how we thought about it. A week later, North Korea launched missiles over Japan into the ocean, and that was our way of saying, go ahead, see who defends you. You see?
And Bobby, can I ask you one question? Now, when Obama took office, the money was even in the budget. The money for the war, it wasn't even in the budget.
No, it wasn't. Not most of this.
Well, where was it? Where was the money coming from?
It's coming from debt. That's how we get the national debt, as I explained. We get to the end of the year, and then we go, where's the money? And then we go to Japan and China and point guns at them, and then say, give us some of your money back. We'll loan it and give you a little bit of interest, but that figure that Dr. Stan has used on the show, those people in Asia have to give us $4 billion a day because that's how much we overspend over the taxes we collect.
So we need to talk about that a little more. We need to talk about that, about the war, money we spend for war.
Yeah, well, we're spending so much on war, and you notice the pretend cuts, they're going to cut back the F-22 fighter program.
Right, right.
That's all just less than 1% of the whole defense budget. In order, we're giving up our future, Medicare and Social Security, for a phony war.
For a phony war. You got phony war.
And understand, when you're broke, what do? You go over where they have oil and you try to capture a couple of companies that got oil, countries that have oil, because you want to steal their money.
Right, going to steal their money.
Okay.
Talk about that little more, Bobby, okay?
Hey, good night, Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank
for calling. I'm glad that you're listening every night. I hope you got most of the people back there listening. We're trying to get them educated. We're in real trouble as a nation. We lose America. We lose everything. And it seems that the people who are running this country have a different agenda. Their loyalty is not to America. It's the idea of a world government. The war is a great diversion as we move towards the new world order, the new world religion, and the new world leader. Well, go right ahead, Bill.
What we're leading to in this program tonight is to try to tell you, the audience, that something obviously very big lies ahead. It may not be more than a few days away. On August 25th, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, you see their initials on the front of every bank. This bank is insured by the FDIC. Your deposits. The FDIC is going to give its second quarter report, that's 55 days after the close of the second quarter, or June the 30th of this year. So they're going to give their recapitulation of the status financially of the banks in the United States, about 8,400 of them. They're going to report that at least 2,000 banks should be closed, and they're going to report that virtually every bank has no reserves, and the Federal Reserve had to print the money and give it to them, so they have the 10% reserves or so behind your accounts in the bank. Now, what happens is that the Federal Reserve, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, is also going to report probably that they're out of money. Yes, they are out of money. Now, they get money from the banks, a small percentage of the profits that they make, and then they put it in that fund. In the 1980s, when there was a savings and loan crisis, the FDIC loaned $20 or $30 billion from the Treasury and then gave it back to them. But this time we're talking about trillions of dollars. Trillions. Now, the line of credit by the FDIC with the Treasury Department is about $500 billion. But they're afraid that if on the 25th of August, if the American people hear that the FDIC is broken, had to go tap into a line of credit of which there's no money there, it's called imaginary printing, okay, it's a printing press, that the people might panic and might run to the banks. And if there's a bank run just by 10% of the Americans, not very many people, there is not enough currency in the banks to handle that and hand everyone cash. They'll have to close the banks, put armed guards around them, and depending on how severe this is, they could declare martial law or whatever, and then have to print more money. And they can't
hold
do that,
that thought.
Long.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill is saying certainly we may very well be just a very short period of time away from a major crisis. And certainly on August 25th, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company that insures the money that you have deposited in the bank, and you've seen these advertisements on television that tell you got nothing to worry about. The FDIC insures your money, and nobody has lost one single penny, you know, from their deposits, you know, going all the way back to 1933. And why do they keep running those ads to try to convince you that you got nothing to worry about, unless maybe there is something to worry about? And the problem is that the FDIC is just about out of money. It's actually closed 72 banks, at least so far this year. And it's had, of course, to put out money. It's actually has the promise of $500 billion, a half a trillion dollars line of credit it can get from the Treasury. The trouble is the Treasury doesn't have any money. Where is the Treasury going to get the money? Why? Of course, they'll have to create it out of nothing. They can't borrow it because other countries don't want to borrow it to us. Well, we can always turn on the printing presses, but that could destroy the value of our currency. And, of course, what's going to happen on August 25th when the FDIC, if they put out an honest report noting that literally almost every bank in the United States, if they were really marking their assets to the market, rather than to a model what they'd like it to be, if they were to say what their assets are really worth, almost every bank in the United States, even with a multiplier of 10 that they have, almost every bank in the United States is insolvent today. So our guest, of course, is Bill Sarney, who's done a lot of analysis on this, sends out a great emails that keeps me constantly appraised of what's going on. If you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, the 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Of course, there are other potential crises we're facing. Certainly this contrived swine flu epidemic and the vaccination program. This is all contrived. They're doing everything they can to frighten us to death about, oh my goodness, you know, this certainly is an untried, untested vaccine. Yes, it could be dangerous. A few people might die. But think of all the people who are going to die if we don't vaccinate them. And they know very well the vaccine. They have never had an influenza vaccine that did much of any good. And this one is designed to do great harm because it's going to have in it not only the mercury and the aluminum, it's going to have squalene and much of this, which of course triggers off an autoimmune response. And certainly we know when they use this in the Gulf War illness in 1991, why of course at least a third of the people became chronically ill, more than that, and certainly a significant number of them are dead today, but they're not telling the American people. It was an experimental vaccine, and they're going to use the same thing in the vaccine. In fact, not one dose, but two doses that they want to give all the American people and children and pregnant women. And that's a possibility. It could be a war with Iran. It could be another international financial collapse as this whole thing takes place. We're on the edge of something very large. If you have a question for Bill Sarney, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Bill, you go right ahead.
That's exactly where we are going, because governments usually stage a war when they get into a bad economy. You remember the Falklands Islands War, where Argentina, and it facing a very bad economy, then just picked a fight with Great Britain and tried to capture these Falkland Islands just to get the public in Argentina distracted. And, of course, we've had all kinds of distractions. Well, what are we going to do with that $1 trillion? Let's see if we can meld that into the flu scare. As we now understand, if you can imagine with the scenario created right now as we have this evening, we need another $1 trillion. If there's a flu scare, what do people do when they hear there's going to be forced quarantines, when there's going to be maybe coerced vaccinations? When they hear this coming, they're going to do what? Run to the store, grab some water, grab some food, run to the bank and get some cash. Ah! That means the government might want to make us scared of the flu, frighten us of this whole thing, because if they can cause a bank run that they can blame on the influenza pandemic, now they can close the banks, blame it on the flu, and print the extra $1 trillion and say it's because the people panicked and ran to the banks when this flu pandemic broke out. And that's why I think they're racing as fast as they are, because they're afraid the bank run by the people might come before the flu vaccine is ready. So they're trying to rush tonight in USA Today the very first doses of this flu for the H1N1 swine flu. The safety trials are off to a fast start, it says now, as they're going to give it to a few thousand adults and children. Now, I will tell you, in Europe, they're really walking a tightrope. it's really quite a different scenario there, as they're going to use mock vaccines that have only had 5 days to be approved and then put them on the market without any testing in humans. What they do is they pre-approve the manufacturers the way they make it, the adjuvants, the things they put in there to boost your immune system, and they just put a couple of dummy viruses in and test those in humans. Then when the flu season moves along to the end of the year here, this is the new seasonal flu season, starts somewhere October, November, but they're afraid of this late season flu left over from earlier in the year, the swine flu, and they're going to give both a seasonal flu shot, two shots this year instead of one. They admitted the flu shots all these past years didn't work. You need two shots. And they're going to give two shots of the swine flu. Now, the point here is that they're going to do this in Europe. What they're doing is they don't know the exact strain of the flu in circulation, let's say October, November. So they're going to wait for the last minute, then add that strain of the flu virus to this vaccine, approve it in 5 days, and just watch what happens to the people without any prior real studies. Now, they say they have good data showing that if you had the same manufacturing process and you used other viruses, you could just add the virus and it doesn't make much difference. There's an assumption here also. Now, the United States is taking a safer course, and what we're doing is testing it on humans first. Again, this is not a safety study in my mind, because really the people that are at risk are the very small infants who don't have a developed immune system, the very old, the retirees who have a worn-out immune system, and people with autoimmune diseases or on immune-suppressing drugs. They're not going to give it to any of those people. Those are the people at high risk. So thousands and thousands and thousands may die, and in fact, as I discuss this with you tonight, in 1993, I've had all the incontrovertible evidence in my hand. The United States hid a deadly flu outbreak in 1993. Now, if you look at the timelines, you'll see that there was a flu outbreak in 1957, the Asian flu, and then there was another one in 1968, the Hong Kong flu. Then you'll see another one in 1977, which they really admit now is the Russian flu that actually escaped from a laboratory in Russia and then went around the globe in a small outbreak.
Now, when was that?
That was in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how, it was interesting because they were claiming that about every 9 years you'd get another big outbreak. But interestingly enough, the one that escaped from Russia was right on that timed point. You see, from 68 to 77, about 9 years. But in 1993, there was such a dramatic mortality impact by the flu that it actually set back the life expectancy every year since the Spanish flu in 1918. The American life expectancy has gone up. Except in 1993, it went south. It went down. We had a tremendous increase in mortality. And if I go to the morbidity and mortality report weekly, it's a big report that comes out in the United States frequently, and you read the records there very carefully, there was a late season flu outbreak in nursing homes, and it killed thousands, and I never understood why, and no one ever explains it. Why would the United States hide the biggest flu outbreak since the Spanish flu? Why would it hide it? I couldn't figure it out for 2 years, until last month when I finally read that it was in 1992 and 3, just in that season, when Medicare first paid for flu shots in nursing home patients. That's where the death was. It was among nursing home patients. This type of flu vaccine that was used in 1993 was obviously a death vaccine. It caused the death of many, many older people, not healthy people, but it did. It wiped out thousands of people in nursing homes, and they could explain the deaths as they were old and whatever. The data from this all comes in a year or two late. That's how government statistics, they trickle in, and not one sharp journalist in the United States looking at the mortality figures by year by year by year, and you can see this sharp spike downward, and there must have been something major happened there, and no one goes to take a look. No one explains it. The government hid this, erased it off the books, because it would obviously set back our entire vaccination program. I bring this up tonight for this reason. What if this vaccine kills thousands and they just never tell us?
Well, Chris, what they will do is they say, well, it wasn't the vaccine. They died of the swine flu. Or if we just got more people vaccinated earlier with just a better vaccine. But they will never admit the vaccines could kill people, and yet we know they could.
You could say that they can't hide it because you can see it in the mortality figures. That's exactly what I'm telling you. It's in the mortality figures, and they still hit it.
But, of course, what they did is, I'm sure they attributed the deaths to the influenza in 1993, not to the vaccine. Let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, yes, Dr. Stan, I originally called in for the economic monetary subject, but Bill segued into this current subject matter, and I can corroborate what he adamantly states here in documents, because my mother was end-stage renal failure for about 4 or 5 years, and in the summer of 05, I had managed to figure out a protocol that enabled her to go longer lengths of time without dialysis. So we had she had a two-week hiatus. When we returned, 9 of the 13 patients had died because they were all these, you know, vacant dialysis units there, and so I asked the tech, what happened? Are they all on vacation? She says, no, they all died, and we're not supposed to talk about it. And I said, well, that's interesting, because they were attempting to strong-arm my mother into taking the smallpox, a pneumonia, and a flu shot, and a hepatitis B. They wanted all four of these to be injected, and I kept demanding they provide the documented data from the research studies that prove safety and efficacy. They never could provide that.
Well, you probably saved your mother's life, Jack, and I think God bless you for doing that. I think that. What do you think of that story, Bill? It certainly
sounds. Well, I've had a lot of people in his story, or when I told my story, and they come to you and say, "Are they culling the retirees? Are they culling the population, the older people?" Because it's obvious now we see $60 trillion. Of underfunding by Medicare. Medicare is collapsing as we speak. It is out of money. It was supposed to come by the year 2017. It's come 5 or 6 years sooner, and it's broke. Now, when we talk about rationing, we're going to have some sort of cutbacks, and the rationing really becomes the unnecessary care the doctors provide, because the Congressional Budget Office says about $700 billion of health care is unnecessary care. 30% of prostate cancer, 30% of breast cancer, overdiagnosed. You don't need any treatment, but they treat it anyway, and this is a whole scare tactic. But you see, we can't cut back because the public thinks they're getting shortchanged. The public thinks they're not getting the care they paid for, and they don't want what they call rationing, and the public's falling into the hands of the drug companies and the AMA and all these things, as they want to have the same level of care. And obviously, Obama then throws this other thing of adding 40 million people into the waiting line. We don't even have enough doctors, and now we're going to have a waiting line that's so long. So everyone will have terrible care, and that's why I urge everyone to learn about how to take care of their health at home. Learn how to keep the medicine cabinet full with natural remedies and things, because you're not going to be able to run to the doctor. And I point out to you, in this upcoming flu pandemic, it doesn't make any sense, because this is a triple reassorted virus. That is, it's part avian bird, part swine, that is pig, and part human. And now they're saying that that just happened, and it apparently was in circulation around the world for a few years before we detected it. Can you believe that? Come on, everybody knows there's a flu running around the country. A lot of people are getting it, your friends and everybody. We know it's the swine flu, if this swine flu had been going around, we would have certainly all known it. But they're trying to tell us that this thing just came up and we just now recognized it. Come on. It was man-made.
Everything points in that direction. We actually
everything points in that direction. Now, at the time this flu broke out in Mexico, it was Mr. Sarkozy of France, I guess they call him the president there, visited the president of Mexico and announced that Sanofi Aventis was putting in a new multi-million-dollar vaccine plant in Mexico City. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a coincidence that right in the very week that World Health Organization announces a giant Mexican swine flu outbreak, that he happens to be there with a new vaccine plant? And in fact, there were some agencies of FEMA in South Texas already practicing for flu outbreaks, little exercises that the Federal Emergency Management Association, they were already doing that before they had made an announcement of the swine flu outbreak. So, you know, this seems to be a very contrived thing. The big question is, we're worried about the swine flu mutating at the end of this year. If they make a vaccine, how will they know what the mutated form is? Now, in Europe, they're going to be able to add it at the last minute and 5 days later have a vaccine and race and give it to you, even though it's untested. In the United States, we're using the swine flu that's now in circulation via vaccine. We may not have one that actually addresses the mutated form. And the more we use, this is the big study, big story coming up right out of Mayo Clinic and otherwise, they're saying the more we use the vaccine, the more chance we will put genetic pressure and create that very dreaded form of mutated flu virus.
Hold that thought, Jack. I do want to hang on just a moment. I want to talk to you as soon as we get back from the break. Well, there's Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Things. Bill, would you want to put out your website or any other information before
well,
we let you go?
Well, you can find out more about these things. Go to resveratrolnews.com. That's an unbiased, non-commercial website. Resveratrol News, R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L, resveratrolnews.com, and you can find out more about some of those things. But, you know, the point is the public's being kept from this information. The Tamiflu and the Relenza drugs are neuraminidase inhibitors. They keep the virus from escaping from the cell once it's made a whole bunch of copies of itself. But this stops it from ever even being made, and it's a totally different method. It works about 70 milligrams of resveratrol did this completely. It was about they did it in animals. About 80% of the animals died when they were given a mortal H1N1 swine flu virus. But then when they gave them resveratrol, only 20% of them died. It turned around. So you see it's had a dramatic, and this is when they're giving them a mortal dose. You wouldn't see this in humans like this. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it works effectively without inducing resistance. There are ways to do this. Certainly vitamin D. Now Canada has launched a study of vitamin D to fight the flu because they realize there are limitations to the flu drugs and the vaccine. So we're good news from Canada. So we hope that we find some better alternatives. They can't mandate the flu virus for everyone this year for the swine flu or the seasonal flu because they don't have enough doses of it. But they can give it to about a third of the population.
And I'm very, very serious as to what, seriously concerned about what may happen to that third who does take the vaccine with an experimental adjuvant that has been disastrous. Every place has been tried.
Well, they're going to have the thimerosal, the mercury, in there, too. They're finally admitting that's going to be in there with the squalene. Now, squalene comes from shark liver oil. It does boost the immune system. It should, for normally healthy people, it would be good. But for people with an autoimmune system, you just turn their immune system against them all the more.
Amen.
So this is where you get into the terrible trouble and the death from it.
We're out of time, Bill. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. Fascinating program. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, fine. That was Bill Sardi. Hope you enjoy our program with Bill. And certainly, if you did not hear our two-hour interview with Dr. Russell Blaylock, or our interview with Barbara Lowe Fisher, these are available. They'll soon be available in a four-tape set, along with my interview with Wayne Madsen, who's actually basically an investigative reporter who's been told by people who work within the genetic engineering industry that everything points to the fact that the swine flu vaccine, pardon me, the swine flu virus, is actually man-made. Do they actually make dangerous viruses and turn them loose on our population? Well, certainly you need to get hold of the book. It's entitled The Project Daylily by Dr. Garth Nicholson. Project Daylily goes into the chronic fatigue syndrome, goes into AIDS, the mycoplasm, the genetically altered mycoplasm, where the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology holds the patent for it. This same organism you find in AIDS, in chronic fatigue syndrome, and fibromyalgia, and Gulf War. You need to understand that there really are people out there who have a different worldview. That's Project Daylily. We have another book called AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief. AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief. So those two books are readily available from Radio Liberty. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. None dare call it genocide. And the population control. You also need to get the population control agenda monograph. If you get any of the other items, we'll send that to you without charge. I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. The 10th of August. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Hour. Thank each and every one of you who carry the Power Hour, whether it's low power, whether it is... A-